Welcome to CUTV News Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters talk to today's top thinkers from all around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas that you can put to use in your personal or professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, we dig deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. CUTV News Radio, it's the show where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thank you so much for joining us. We are live worldwide on CUTV News Radio. This is your host, Jim Masters. It's a real pleasure and honor to have you with us here on the program. We love the fact that our guests get an opportunity to share with our audience all this incredible information about the work that they do and how they're inspiring others and making the world a better place. And we love the feedback we get from our listening audience globally, too, who tell us that they really, they're motivated by our guests, and they learn different perspectives about life, and they also love connecting with our guests and having an opportunity to benefit from the expertise of the exclusive special guest experts that we feature here on CUTV News Radio every single day. And one of those guests that we're welcoming for the very first time and with a real honor and pleasure is Dr. Kay Wallach. Dr. Wallach is a veteran educator with 25 years of experience working with nearly 5,000 gifted students and their families. Dr. Wallach collaborates with families to help them improve relationships, to create peace in their homes, and to achieve their goals. Dr. Wallach says her goal in life and the thing that she's all about is really helping parents and children work together to develop their full potential. Gifted children reach their potential when we encourage them and give them the support they need and allow them to fulfill their dreams and their goals. Still, Dr. Wallach says, there is a fine line between encouraging gifted children to reach their decisions on their own and allowing the child to dictate and be in charge. It is a very fine line. Gifted children are more intense, says Dr. Wallach. Your gifted child will stay balanced as you demonstrate balance in your life and take time to listen to them and show genuine interest in their interests. It's really amazing the work that she does. You know, being a kid is certainly not easy and not getting any easier. Kids are exposed. We were just chatting before we went live on the air. The things that they're exposed to today, we would never have dreamed of them being exposed to with the internet, and there's so much around there. It could be a blur. It could be scary for kids of all ages and backgrounds. For the millions of children with special needs, each day can really be a struggle, both for them as well as their families. But there's another group of children who need our support just as much. Gifted children. That's right. In many ways, working with gifted children can be surprisingly similar to working with children with special needs and real disabilities. Unfortunately, there seems to be, for some reason, not as much sympathy for these children because they are gifted. Almost as if they're looked at, you know, because they're gifted, they don't need time and attention to the same degree as a child perhaps with special needs and real disabilities. So we're going to talk about all of that. Dr. Kay Wallach works with children of all kinds and backgrounds and skill sets, and she loves her work. She really focuses on gifted children, and she does it so beautifully, and she's going to share with us how she does that and some of the successes she's had along the way in her many, many years of doing this work. She's located in Peoria, Arizona, and we're very happy to welcome her to CUTV News Radio Live right now. Dr. Wallach, thank you so very much for joining us on the program today. It's a real pleasure to have you with us. Welcome.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here. One of the students I had, you know, life seems much more complex. You mentioned that in your intro. And I think a lot of things seem to be more complex, and it is if we allow the fear to enter in. But, and you don't have to look very far to find something to be afraid of these days. But if
right.
you come back to your own center and just take a breath, I tell myself all the time, oh, take a breath, Kay, take a breath. And when I take that breath, I feel the air actually move through my body, and it calms everything about me. And then I can access my real gifts and be fully present for the people in my lives. And the thing is, it can be so simple. I had a little girl, a little Indian girl, beautiful child, not knocked down gorgeous, you know, that kind of a child, very precocious. And she always got her way on the playground. And after 6 months, she wouldn't get her way on the playground. You know, children are pretty patient, but then there comes a time when they say, thus far and no farther. Well, there was another school 6 blocks down the street, so her parents would pull her out of the school where I was, and they'd take her to the private school down the street. Well, I also taught a gifted class there, so she didn't miss me. One day, we were sitting there, and the children were all working, and she had finished her project, and I said, Radhika, I don't understand. Why is it that you keep changing schools about every 5 to 6 months? And she said, well, I just don't like to be bothered by people who don't want me to be their boss. I said, okay. I said, maybe we need to talk to Mom and Dad about that. So I called the parents in, and I said, do you know what's going on here? And they gave me their view, which was that their child was being bullied on the playground. And I suggested that it didn't matter to me, and it shouldn't matter to them which school, because both schools were quite well equipped and really good schools and had good teachers and everything. But I said, yeah, they really needed to choose one and have her stick with it. Because what was happening was when she came up against a situation she didn't like, she was running away.
Yeah.
And I thought, how true that is of so much in life. So they had a discussion with her. We ended up meeting all four of us, and she chose a school, and she had to promise to stay there at least 3 years. Mom and Dad were both physicians in Topeka, Kansas, and their jobs were secure, so they knew they were going to be there for at least 3 years. And all of a sudden, this little girl learned how to be a real diplomat. She learned how to work with other children. She learned how to play with other children, and she was very, very happy. Now, she didn't give up her friends from the other school because they were within 6 blocks, so it was really easy to arrange play dates and everything. But it worked out to be so beautiful for everyone. And I thought, number one, there had to be that sharing of what was really going on. And number two, someone had to be willing to bring that to the parents' attention. And I think many times in our lives, we're just so busy that we don't share things with each other. And it's very important to share in person, because in person you have the voice tone and the facial expression. And with this little girl, if you just got a text from her or you just got an email, you would have no clue what was going on in that head. But because I've worked with gifted children for so long and I was sitting across the table from her, I knew what was going on in that head of hers. And so
yeah,
I kept asking questions and getting her to share what was really happening. And she was more willing to share with me than her parents, because after all, if she shared with her parents, she wouldn't get her way anymore, would she? So
Exactly. Very
important that you have a team of people. Parents are very important. You're probably the most important people in your child's life. Teachers are probably next. And there has to be that communication between you. And sometimes it's not only appropriate, but absolutely essential that you call in a professional so that your child will get the support that they need. Someone who knows the system, someone who understands how to advocate within that system for the needs of your child. Special needs children have gifted advocates in, I think, every state that I've taught in. And we need to have a similar situation for gifted children, especially now that money is so tight and many
Absolutely.
Gifted programs on the wayside. So it's been very
Absolutely.
Interesting.
So how would you define a child that's gifted? When I think the common way that people think of that is a whiz kid. Somebody who's incredibly quick to pick up piano, can do win spelling bees, is fabulous at mathematics, is almost like a mini adult in a way. I think a gifted child is almost perceived in that way, and then maybe that's why, almost like they have everything great coming their way because they are gifted in some certain way. but they're a real person too that have needs and wants and fears. And how do you describe a gifted child?
There's a key point here, Jim, and that is giftedness is very often all you will see is the intensity, the moving quickly
right.
from one activity to another, the rapid learning, the creativity. Sometimes gifted children really aren't interested in cleaning up their messes. They just go from one mess to another and that kind of thing.
They go to the next.
So
yes.
These are important. But a gifted child is usually defined as initially having and using natural abilities without benefit of formal training. So if you're taking your child to a school where they're being taught to read at age two, that's not going to bring giftedness out, because that's not what giftedness is. It is the rapid learning. It's being able to reason beyond your years. I've had conversations with 11-year-olds that were much more exciting than conversations I've had with adults. They usually achieve high academically, but not always. Sometimes their giftedness can actually act as a barrier, because everything in school is, or many things in school are so easy for them, or
that's
they
right.
may be perfectionistic and they are unwilling to do it because they don't think it will be perfect. So one of the big parts of my job when I was teaching in schools was helping children to see the positives of what they did produce. And human life is not about perfection. It just isn't. And perfection's in the eye of the beholder, just like beauty anyway. So we never want to assume knowledge, always assume intelligence. And I, as a gifted adult, still have situations where people in my life assume knowledge on my part. I do have my doctorate, and so they assume that anybody who has that kind of a degree must know all this mundane stuff, and I don't. Technology is a field I have to really work at, because I much prefer in-person contact. And so I resist the technology stuff. And I'm moving beyond that. Your staff probably knows that I resist that, don't they?
Yes.
But
yeah.
It comes with, if you can frame things, especially for children, frame it in play. Well, let's play with the possibilities. Let's see what might really be happening here. And that's how I did with Radhika. I had another child who was a sixth grader who was just flunking everything, just everything. And when you watched him walk, when you looked at his face, he was just clearly so depressed and so upset and did not want to be here. And I introduced Brain Gym to the class. And some of them were very resistant. And I said, okay, so let me put it this way. I was pretty confident in the fact they all loved to come to my class. So I said, if you're going to be in this class, you're going to do Brain Gym every day. It will not be long, and it will be easy to do, I promise, but you will be expected to do Brain Gym every day. So we started doing it as a class, and the first thing we addressed with Brain Gym was we did our spelling, and we put the spelling list on the wall. And the students stood up, and they did something called the cross crawl, which is one of the basic movements in Brain Gym, and they spelled the words out loud. And by golly, at the end of the week, number one, everybody had fun, and they couldn't wait to have a spelling lesson, and they all got 100 on their spelling test. 80% of those kids had been flunking spelling. What happened? We allowed the energy to move through the body. As they were taking in the information, they were hearing their own voices, not someone else's. And we had a way of talking so that you could hear your own voice and not somebody else's. And you were actually physically moving the body as a tool for learning. We were including the auditory, the visual, they were looking at the words on the wall, and the kinesthetic, all three learning styles. And consequently, every one of them learned all the words. Now, you know, spelling just usually isn't a big thing with gifted kids. It's not something that they enjoy. They don't see a need for it. And let me tell you, they didn't see a need for it 10 years ago. Think about today. Well, my computer was supposed to fix this word. Well,
right,
you know, there's
exactly.
still things that computer programs just don't handle. So getting back to James, he came in, and I did work individually with many children. And he came in and wanted to work individually, and so I worked with him individually. And we ended up setting up a way of a routine each day that he was, his goal was to do the routine each day and then see what happened. And it was doing pace and some other brain gym things. And I asked him to start being aware of what he was listening to, because he turned out he always had the earbuds in his ears and he was always listening to. One day I listened to what he was listening to and it just completely shook up my whole being. I just, whoa, it was really bad. And so I suggested that just for 3 days, he try listening to what I'd like him to listen to. And it took some real bargaining to get him to agree, but he finally did. And at the end of the 3 days, he came to school knocking on the door, "Dr. K, Dr. K." I said, "What's up?"
That is incredible.
He said, "Well, I'm worried," he said. "I'm getting up and I'm really feeling joy." He said, "Is that normal?"
Yeah.
Well, of course it's normal to be joyous. That's what human beings are here for, is to enjoy what's here, to enjoy each other. And out of joy, we create something very different than we do if we work from fear. So anyhow, he did a beautiful, beautiful job. And I learned many things from this young man. And one of the things I learned from him was how important the support structure is we have around us. We all need family and friends. Some of us need a therapist or some sort of professional. If our family is a family that has experienced suicide and depression, and we haven't taken direct action to move out of that depression, and we're not watching our thoughts every day, that depression can sneak in and take over again. My own husband committed suicide. He was a genius, and he committed suicide. But I see clearly, you know, giftedness gets a bum rap. Being gifted is not being depressed. Being gifted without support can lead to depression, but life is cumulative. So today we have 3 good experiences and 1 that's not so good. Tomorrow we might have 7 good experiences and 1 that's not so good. The truly depressed person has experience after experience after experience that just verifies to them how awful the world is.
Right.
And I couldn't help James alone. I needed to be doing all of this work that I did with James, with his friends, and with his family, too. Case in point, a young lady, 12 years old, playing intramurals, basketball, having a ball. Her reading scores were not what you expect of a gifted child, and not where they should be if you're going to get good scholarships for school. And her parents were worried because they knew she couldn't get to college without a scholarship. So they said, I did a presentation for parents and asked, you know, said I'd work freely with any family who wanted to come in. And so I was new to the whole thing. And so I really didn't know what kind of results we would get. And so the mother called me the next day and she said, "Dr. K, would this work on relationships?" And I said, "Well, I don't know. We could try it. What's up?" And she said that she and her daughter were fighting to the degree that she was concerned about physical violence hurting each other because they'd already knocked a door off its hinges. That's an awful lot of anger if you knock a door off its hinges.
Absolutely.
And I said, okay. But I said, one of the things about brain gym is it has to be that individual's choice.
Yeah.
And she said, well, I think she'll do anything you ask her to do. And I said, well, bring her in. We'll talk about it. So Kylene really wasn't interested in raising her reading scores, which, of course, as a teacher was important to me. She really wasn't interested in having a better relationship with her mother, which was absolutely why her mother wanted her to do it. So I said, Kylene, what would you like to do? And she said, well, I want to make more points in basketball. Great, let's do it. So we wrote the goal her way. We did the balance her way. And then at the end, I said, now, would you mind if you had to do no more work than what you're doing, if mother kind of piggybacked on your balance and she did brain gym in the way that you're going to, and her goal was to have a better relationship with you? Yeah, that's okay. And I said, what if I piggyback on your balance too, and my goal is for you to increase your reading scores? And she looked at me, all right. And by golly, it worked. We all three got what we wanted. She did the Brain Gym for 3 months. I worked with her on an every other week basis. And it was just amazing. That young lady is one of the few that I'm still in touch with. And they moved to New York State, Upper New York State. She was on the varsity team as a freshman. She led her team to state championships all 4 years. And she had an academic scholarship and a basketball scholarship
for
her 4 years of college.
That's incredible.
So, and it wasn't
I want to ask
hard.
You, too.
We're not talking hard work here. We're talking fun.
That's right. So. Absolutely. And it's incredible. And the success stories are phenomenal. And I really appreciate your sharing them with our audience because it shows people that there is, you know, hope and there in case they feel and they're in a situation. Because it could be very lonely, obviously, to be a gifted child, you know, as well.
Mm-hmm.
But what about the parents? What would you say are some of the unique challenges for the parents and even for the teachers as well? I'm sure they also have various challenges to deal with too.
It's always a delicate balance, regardless of what ability level your child is, to make sure that they have appropriate challenge that doesn't push them over the edge, but that you also recognize that no matter how brilliant they are, you know, with a classroom teacher. Why is this kid in my class? He already knows everything we're doing. Well, the parents have chosen to keep him on grade level and not promote him. And there are lots of arguments on both sides of that coin. So, then part of my job as the teacher of the gifted was to go in and help classroom teachers adjust their curriculum so that the kids would be getting the challenge they needed. I find that if the academic challenge in a classroom is on the appropriate level for every child, discipline problems just disappear. The human being naturally loves to learn. We are all naturally curious. And somebody's probably out there listening and saying, well, if you're not, it's because you've cut it off at a very early age. And I can help you reawaken that curiosity so that life can be joyous and fun again. The children are going to follow, how can I say this? Okay. The children want more than anything to please the adults in their lives. When they begin to ignore the adults and make the adults' lives miserable is when they've given up on themselves. It's like, well, I can't please her. Forget it. The personality of the child, the level of intelligence, and their learning style all play into this picture. Those are the things in my model. I have a model I call the Integrated Model for Human Effectiveness. And if you look at all three of those, then you're dealing with the real essence of the person, regardless of their age, but especially with children. You have to be with children and watch them. You can't just start laying on the stuff if you want to pull out their essence. And I think a lot of what's wrong with our world today is we keep putting on layers of this is better, this is better, this is better, instead of making the real connection with the person, finding out what really makes them tick, and then making sure they're in that environment that's nourishing for them. You and I were talking before this show about you don't put a rose in the same garden as the daisy. They need different nutrients, they need different temperatures, they need different amounts of moisture. Children are like seeds in a garden. When you give birth to a child, it's like, oh, I have this wonderful packet of seeds. Oh my, it has no label and no instruction manual. So now we get to start exploring. And the level of actual curiosity you bring as a parent, instead of authority that you bring as a parent, helps that child develop into what to be and give their gifts to the world. If you already have your plan for the child, you know, I was working with a child, a little three-year-old. We had such fun together. And his mother she said at the end of the 3 weeks, she said, I learned more than my child did. She learned to expand her vocabulary. Her husband was an architect, and they expected their son to become an architect. So everything he did, every time he did something that was pleasing or had to do with building, wow, you're going to be a great architect. I simply suggested that instead of saying, wow, you're going to be a great architect, why not say, wow, you're a great builder? You see how much more inclusive the term builder is than architect.
Yeah.
That allows the child's dreams to come forth rather than you laying on your dreams. Our children aren't here to fulfill our dreams for us. Our children are here to bring their gifts to the world. If there is a problem in our world, the answer is here, or we have the people here who can create the answer. The trick is, it means we have to change our mindset. I think it was Einstein who said, the mindset that created the problem can't solve the problem. We have to shift our view, change our mindset before we have something different. And that means we have to recognize the joy and the potential of every child. I can tell you three or four of my friends who are adults and still don't even know they're gifted. And I know from interacting with them, they are very gifted. And if gifts had been identified earlier on, they might have made very different contributions. The other thing about gifted children is they are very, very intent on doing things their way and very intent on contributing to the world. So, and many of us as parents haven't been from that mindset. You know, we've been so wrapped up in we have to earn a living, we have to do this, we have to do that. And so it means we all have to open up and still, as a parent, I have to experiment and provide the structure that that child needs. I have a sister who's equally as smart as I was, and mother handled us differently. The rules were the same for the household, but she discussed them differently with my sister than she did with me. I was much more self-willed than my sister. So it's an opportunity for growth. A family has probably more opportunity for growth than any individual. And it's really exciting to put that all together.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's just really what I would enjoy working with are people who really want to look at their lives and create a better and better life and thus a better and better world.
We've only got maybe about a minute left. What is the best way that people can connect with you, Dr. Kay? I think it's wonderful the work that you do.
The best way to contact me is to email me and put potential client in the subject line. And the email is lowercase letters, kwallach at cox.net. And that's just the letter K, not my name K. Yeah. And I would love to hear from you. If you have specific questions, you know, lots of times people have a simple question. I can answer that in an email. That doesn't require a one-on-one system or anything. But if you're wanting some one-on-one help, I would love to do that. I'd love to work with your whole family. So,
that is perfect.
Thank you
for having me. Our very special guest on. Yeah, always a real pleasure, and I let you run because you were saying some wonderful, wonderful things. Had a million questions, but I let you run because you really, really shared such a in a beautiful, threaded way some your passion and your enthusiasm and the successes, and we wish you continued success, Dr. Kay Wallach, our very special guest. Thank you for joining us, Dr. Wallach. It was a real pleasure and a real honor, and we thank our audience as well for tuning in to CU TV News Radio today. We hope you enjoyed the program. Again, Dr. Wallach's email is kwallach, W-A-L-L-A-C-H, at gmail.com. I'm Jim Masters for all of us here at CU TV News Radio. Thank you for joining us as well, and we wish you a terrific day. Bye for now.